Welcome to Art for All, sponsored by Sketchbook School. As a thank you for joining us, I'd like to give you a free ebook and our monthly newsletter full of tips, recommendations, and other cool stuff. Just head over to sketchbookschool.com to claim your freebies and to learn more about our classes and workshops and our membership program. We believe that art is for everyone, and I hope our podcast inspires you to create and explore your own artistic journey. Thanks for listening. On with the show.
Welcome to Art for All, the Sketchbook School podcast. I'm your host, Danny Gregory, and each week I bring you stories and ideas and interviews and inspiration to keep you company while you work on your own creative project, whether you're drawing or doodling or, carving an ice sculpture or sewing a quilt or cooking chicken tikka masala. Whatever you're doing, I hope this episode inspires you. That's our mission at Sketchbook School, to help encourage art for all. And if you're interested in watercolor art, by the way, and who isn't? I mean, watercolors are beautiful. I'd like to encourage you with a free book. Free book on how to begin using watercolors. So stay tuned, and I'll tell you how to get yours a little later in the show. So this week, I am not recording this in my studio as I usually do. Instead, I'm sitting in a rather hot passenger seat of a huge Chrysler 300 that we rented and is now parked in a driveway in Northern California. So it's not my home. I don't live in this car. I don't live in this state. I live in New York, which is about 3,000 miles away. But my wife and I are about midway through an epic road trip down the West Coast. We flew to Seattle. We rented this giant car, and we headed to the Canadian border, and then we tagged it and turned around, and we began Google mapping our way south. And each day we decide, do we need to stay here where we are another day, another night, check it out some more, or should we get out of Dodge? And if we do, we just look for the next stop on the map. We go to inns, we go to Airbnbs, we stay with friends. We're even going to spend a night in an old Airstream trailer by the Pacific Ocean. We have some appointments back in New York at the end of the month, but until then, we have 3 weeks to spend exploring this part of the country. Now, one of my favorite things about traveling is keeping an illustrated journal of the trip. Over the past, 25 years or so, I've been journaling across Wales, China, Paris, Tuscany, Australia, Bermuda, Qatar, Vietnam, all kinds of places. And even when I travel for business, I take each time, a little bit of time each day to do a drawing or a watercolor and to just write down a page or two of experiences and stories about the things I'm encountering. This all started as just a natural extension of my regular illustrated journaling. I've been recording my daily doings in my sketchbook since I started to draw in my late 30s. I spend a few minutes making a drawing of some part of my day, big or small, as a form of meditation and of appreciation of my life. Creating shelves full of sketchbooks filled with words and pictures documenting my days has been one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done. And so when I travel, I make sure to keep up the habit. I certainly enjoy recording my daily life, but travel journaling is even more fun. There are just so many interesting things that happen when you're on a trip. New things to see, to eat and drink, to learn about, new people to meet, new ideas to encounter, beautiful sights and sounds. Everything is different and new. Cans of soup, packages of soap, the design of buses, of newsstands, of baby strollers, how people do their laundry, their hair, their jobs. If you look hard, you see new universes. So much to draw all around. And when I stop and study something new, it sparks ideas. I recognize new connections. I get insights into my own life by seeing how it differs in this new place. And I learn not to take anything for granted. Just because we always do things this way doesn't mean that's the way you have to do it. So it allows me to kind of live life on more vivid terms. It wasn't always this way, though. I mean, I went on lots of vacations in my 20s and 30s that are basically just a total blur, if I remember anything at all. Beach vacations, European vacations, I don't know. They're all lost to the fog of time. I once went to Japan for a 3-week business trip. 3 weeks! And I barely remember a thing. I just wasn't engaged and present. But drawing has changed all of that. When you sit down and you draw something, all of your senses are on. Study Notre Dame for half an hour, and you'll never forget it. Draw the plaza outside St. Peter's in the Vatican, and it'll be seared into your brain cells. Not just the sights, but the smells, the sounds, the temperature, all of it. While I draw, I'm experiencing life in super high definition. And, you know, vacations are really expensive. You spend thousands of dollars on hotels and restaurants and museum admissions, and that they become even more costly when the memories that you've picked up fade before your tan does. But I can open any of my travel sketchbooks, and I'm instantly transported back to Florence, to Vienna, to Kuala Lumpur, because the drawings that contain all those memories are there. They're encoded in ink and watercolor. And speaking of watercolor, I decided before I left New York that I would use this trip as an excuse to play around with some paints, some new stuff, some new toys. I got myself a fresh field kit of Winsor & Newton watercolors and a couple of new brushes. You know, my old set that I've had for quite a number of years, the pans are kind of dull and dirty, and there are kind of holes in the middle of each one where I've ground out the paint from previous trips. So definitely time to get a freshie loaded and ready. I also found this cool folding set of watercolors from a company called, I think it's Divical, D-Y-V-I-C-L, Divical. And they have 42 colors in the set, and they fold out like a fan. These different little kind of strips with several pans on them. And then they fold together, they collapse into a rectangle that's just 7 inches by 2. So just like a little bit bigger than a cell phone, perhaps, but much narrower. And then I got a set of Japanese watercolor markers from Akashia, 32 brush markers, and you can paint over them with water to blend and mix the colors once they're on the page, which is really handy. And I also got a big set of watercolor pans from Kuretake. It came in a big box, a big flat cardboard box, and inside there were, I don't even know how many pans there were, but each pan is really quite big. So it's probably a couple inches by an inch. And you can take them right out of the box. And so I just picked out the primary colors, a set of warm primaries and a set of cool primaries, and threw them into my bag as well. I also got, of course, a Moleskine watercolor sketchbook. I got my favorite size, which is 5x8. That's my favorite size for traveling. I used to use the much smaller ones, but this 5x8 seems to work really well, and I've used it now for a number of years, so this needs to fill it up. Look, there's a fair amount of redundancy in all these watercolors, and I probably don't really need all of them, but, you know, what the hey, I'm on vacation. And I find that when I travel, it's great to have options if you have a little bit of luggage space, which we do, because we've got this giant car to drag our huge duffel bag full of junk around. So, you know, a lot of times when you're traveling, you put together different combinations of materials to pack along with you for the day, depending on what you think you're going to encounter. If you say, okay, I'm going to probably see a lot of nature, then I might choose certain colors, certain materials. But if I'm going to focus on buildings because I'm doing some urban sketching, am I only going to have short opportunities to draw, or am I going to be able to sit down and really, you know, spread out my gear and do something more intensive? You need to kind of think that through a little bit. Am I going to come back and forth to where I'm staying, or am I going to go out for the whole day, and so I'm going to have to schlep everything I brought with me, you know, for a long haul? You know, so sometimes I might have a backpack, and I could have a folding chair and water bottles and all of my art supplies, maybe even two watercolor sketchbooks. You know, but other times I might just carry a few colors in my coat or a small bag. And sometimes I might leave everything in the hotel and just take a pen and a sketchbook in my pocket. Or I might just take some reference pictures with my mobile phone and then do my drawing in the evening when I have all of my gear and a comfortable table and chair and a glass of wine. But prepare for every situation. That's my motto. I was never a Boy Scout, but I appreciate their point of view. And then, of course, you know, I'm always missing some crucial thing when I arrive. I forgot this. I left this at home. You know, like on this trip, I forgot to bring along my bottle of Dr. Martin's permanent white ink, which is great for whiting out the occasional mistake. Not that I make many mistakes, but when I do, I like to erase them with a little bit of paint. If you do forget something, that's fine, because it's just an excuse to go to a local art store and discover some other new stuff beyond the thing that you were missing. You know, and I'm thinking a lot about watercolors these days because we are just about to launch this amazing new course at Sketchbook School. It's called Watercolor Rules and How to Break Them. For the last few months, Kosha and I have been finding these amazing watercolorists for the course. And then we've been discussing all the elements of watercoloring with them, coming up with a lesson plan, designing demonstrations to explain the lessons, and then filming videos in England, in Spain, in Amsterdam, in New York State. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We both love watercolors, and they're just so flexible, and the colors are so cool, and they're so portable. There's just a lot to explore with them. They're really a very deep medium. It's easy to kind of go into the shallow end, but then there's also an ocean of watercolor out there to explore. So we really, really want to find out a lot about them. But the fact is, we also know that watercolors make people nervous. You know, if you've never worked with them, you might think, oh, they're so difficult, they're so complicated, they're so hard to learn. And even if you have tried them, you know, you may have a sense that there's a lot that you don't know about how to use them properly. I know that I always feel that way, even after reading lots of books and experimenting for years. I mean, heck, I've even had my watercolors featured in a books of collections of cool watercolor artists and stuff. So I guess I qualify in some way as one of them, but I still need to review the basics, and I'm always looking for new techniques and new ways to use these tools better. So, you know, we designed this course for ourselves to really break down the rules of watercolor and how to use the paint best, how to mix colors, how to make washes and glazes and gradations and all that stuff, and to learn how each type of brush should be used, how is alizarin crimson different from quinacridone magenta, and when do you use Windsor lemon instead of cadmium yellow. You know, there's all those kinds of things that you can kind of get away with not knowing, but you know that if you did know how to use them, it would be even better. But we didn't want to just do a sort of super technical, dry, academic course. I mean, that wouldn't really be Sketchbook School after all, right? So we decided that we would learn how to go beyond these rules, how to break the conventions. We didn't want to just learn how to make a bunch of sort of boring, gauzy, I don't know, Bob Ross type paintings of lilies and sunsets. No offense, Bob, you are our god, but, you know, you can get a bit corny. But we also wanted to learn how to jazz things up, you know, and how to do stuff that felt modern and bold and expressive and use different media and just played with the rules. So we began by finding a real expert who could take us through the basics. And we managed to convince Ian Sidaway, who, if you've never heard of him, you really should. He is a dean of watercolor teachers. I mean, he's a member of the Royal Watercolor Society. He's written about 36 amazing classic books on drawing and watercolor. And he's been a personal inspiration to me for ages. I mean, he's just insanely good. But as a teacher, he's incredible too. He's super straightforward in his explanations, and his demonstrations are just crystal clear. You totally get what he's talking about. And if you don't own any of these books that he's written, you know, get ye to Amazon immediately and try a couple of them. And he's just a wonderful person. He has a lovely beard, and he has a sort of plummy British accent. And we've taken to calling him sort of the Professor Dumbledore of watercolor. He knows all the rules, but the thing is, he's not bound by them. And after he's showed us all the foundations, you know, he broke them open himself. And he did some wild stuff with textures and just randomness and just, you got to see it. It's really cool. And then we went to some other artists who we also die over. Jennifer Lewis, who's also known as August Wren, who does a painting a day on Instagram. She's an incredible illustrator. She paints in mixed media and gouache, as well as watercolor. And then Ian Fenaway, who does these amazing kind of urban sketchy landscapes that are surprising and dramatic. And we've been following him on Facebook, and he's part of the Sketchbook School group now, but his stuff is really beautiful. And you look at his paintings and you immediately wonder, how do you do that? Well, he shows us, and he takes us step by step through it and really explains techniques that you can make your own. That's what's so great about his demonstrations. And then there's also Inma Serrano. She is this incredible Spanish artist, like fiery, dramatic. And we filmed her painting gardens and buildings in Sevilla. On a very hot day where the watercolor dried very quickly. And she just blew us away too. And she's also an incredible teacher, teaches workshops. And so she really knows how to break down what she's doing and explain it. So anyway, so this course, which is 6 weeks long, and it features 6 artists, including me and Kosha. And it's going to, if you're at all interested in being creative, this class is going to rock your world. If you've been watercoloring for ages, like me and Kosha, and you need to reconnect with the basics in order to go beyond them, or if you've never painted at all and you just want to start with a firm footing so you can begin with confidence, you're going to get a lot out of this course, I'm sure. We made over 100 videos, and we cover everything short of, I don't know, where water comes from. I think it's exhaustive without being exhausting, and you can sign up to get it on our website right now. Just go to sketchbook.school and watch the trailer and sign up. I know you will be happy. This is just one of the greatest courses that we've ever made or taken. I think it's going to be really fantastic. Anyway, so I've been so inspired by making this course and by hanging out with all these amazing artists, and I'm sure you're going to learn bucketfuls if you sign up. So, all right, back to my trip. So all of this watercolor stuff inspired me to spend our 3-week journey trying out watercolors on the road and applying all these lessons that I had learned from all these artists. And generally, I fill anywhere from 1 to 4 pages in my sketchbook each day, depending on what our itinerary is like. I occasionally do a painting that fills a whole page, but lots of the drawings I do are just little illustrations to accompany the text that I'm writing about our trip. And I'm also making a lot of maps to chart the route. So each day I'll make a map saying, here's where we went. And, you know, I'm also using watercolors to paint the forests and the lakes that surround the highway. So the map becomes, you know, a real topographic as well as, technical description of the roads that we're on, trying to really capture the experience of the journey. And I'm drawing and painting what we eat and drink, and believe me, there's lots of that. We're driving through Seattle and Oregon and California, and there's scads of microbreweries and farm-to-table restaurants, and we're in serious danger of just blimping out on this trip. But we did resolve to find a yoga studio every couple of days and to get some exercise, and that's been a really nice part of the journey to experiencing all these different teachers and communities of people who do yoga. And I'm drawing a yoga pose in my journal each day to remind myself to stay flexible and present. And, you know, I'm on vacation, it's true, but I'm also a triple Virgo. So in my world, that doesn't mean that I'm not working. Every day, I collaborate with my colleagues at Sketchbook School using video conferencing and messaging apps and stuff. Releasing a new course takes a lot of work. So we're not just filming and editing 100 videos, but also writing the notes and outlines and assignments and building the course on our online platform and then working through all the marketing elements that we need. So anyway, I'm in contact with all of them every day, no matter where we are. And I'm going to check in with Kosha right now and just see how things are going at her end in Amsterdam. I'd also love her perspective on travel journaling because she makes beautiful travel journals herself. And I love hearing her ideas and tips. Hey, Kosha, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, I am still on the road. Well, we are about halfway through our journey or a little bit less. We're having a really nice time.
That's great. Have you seen a lot? Have you done a lot?
Yeah, I mean, we have been driving quite a lot, but we've seen lots of different things, and I'm trying to record them all in my journal to make sure that I have a good record of it. And it's been, it can be challenging sometimes to find time to draw when you're on the road, you know, when you're traveling. Like, you have to kind of stop what you're doing to record what you're doing, and make a bit of time like for that every day. So when you travel, how do you work your process of journaling into your day?
I just want to draw every day. That's just one of the goals when I go on a trip. I'm like, I'm bringing my sketchbook, and one of the things I will do is draw. I will fill many, many pages, just like I want to read many, many pages of the books that I bring with me. So that's one of the goals. So at least once a day, I will sit down and do a drawing. And that could be even when we are traveling from one place to another, you know, sitting in a train or in a plane or in a bus even, and draw then. Or, of course, if you are in a place that is really great, then you want to spend some time there anyway. So maybe you can sit down on a terrace or something. And then, of course, as soon as I sit my butt down, I will get my sketchbook out and start drawing whatever I see. So it really depends a little bit on what's happening that day. And if it's a very busy day and I haven't got the chance to just sit down and draw, then at the end of the day, I will sit down and just sometimes just collect some memories of that day. I often fill a page with everything that we ate that day, because especially if you're on a trip, you can have like a very different food than you would have at home, you know? So I really like just collecting all those memories, because you forget what you had for breakfast, that you had noodle soup for breakfast, which I never really have when I'm in Amsterdam, you know, but it's so good. So why don't I? So it could also be like a little nudge to myself for later, like maybe I'll have noodle soup in Amsterdam once. So it's different types of sketching and different moments of sketching, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think about, is there are times when, as you say, you're like, oh, we have some downtime and I'm sitting outside this cathedral, let me draw it.
Yeah.
And there are times when you say, I want to capture the day, and I'm back in my hotel room, and I'm going to pull up my sketchbook and try and record all the things I did. Is that kind of what you do? Are you trying to keep a record, or are you just, oh, I have some time, so I'm just going to do a drawing?
I think I do both. I also, you know, if we are somewhere and I see a cathedral or a place that I really find interesting or intriguing, I can also just tell my husband, like, sorry, I just need an hour now because I want to sit down and I want to draw this. And he'll sit next to me and read a book, or he'll be like, okay, I'll just wander around and I'll see you in an hour. So that's really great to have a travel companion who understands that you need the time to draw. And I think my travel journals are really a mix of things. So sometimes, some days it will be street scenes, other days it will be people. The next day it will be just sort of from memory, food, people, maybe a little bit of comic style type of thing, like the little things that we did, the little moments in the day. And also what I really like doing, if I have a bit of a longer flight back, then at the end of the journal, I will fill a double page. I will make all sorts of, a lot of frames, and the frames are the same amount as days that I was away. And then I will pick a highlight of every day and draw that in sort of a comic book style, which is fantastic because then you're on the plane and you're like, what did we do on Tuesday again? What was so fun? And then, you know, you go through all the memories once more and you draw it in a totally different way again. I really like doing that.
Because you're drawing it kind of in a made-up way, like an imagined way, as opposed to like looking at something. Do you ever take a picture or something like that to help you later on to do it?
Sometimes I do. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this is really a great place. I need to remember the colors, or I need to remember that building, or yeah, I do, but I don't really enjoy drawing just from a photo. So it could be a reference, but I if I missed drawing it on that spot and that moment, I wouldn't really go back and then draw from a photo again. I just don't really enjoy it that much. Then I'd rather draw from memory, maybe.
And do you think you're trying to make a record to have for later on, or is it just like part of the fun of being on vacation? And it's like, you know, you might be going for a hike, or you might be going to a museum, or you might be doing a drawing, or you might be having a dinner. Is it just like another thing to do while you're on vacation? Or are you thinking like, oh, I better make sure I document all of this for later on?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I can really look forward to the drawings that I'm going to make when we are on vacation. So it is really one of the highlights, or one of the activities, I guess.
So it's almost like a reason to go on vacation is to have new stuff to draw.
Maybe, yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I go out in Amsterdam to draw, I try to find different places too, you know, just to challenge myself. And yeah, that's just a reason to fill another page. But on the other side, on the other hand, of course, doing it every day and documenting certain moments in certain places, it is a way of taking photographs, only you use your pen.
Right. Do you look back on those journals a lot?
Not a lot, but I do look back. And then, I don't really dedicate a journal to a vacation. So they are just, my vacations are just in the middle of my other daily drawing. So I just keep a sketchbook, and then I might be in the middle of that sketchbook and I take it with me if I go to wherever I go on vacation. And then I start drawing and I might fill it up and then start a new sketchbook. And once I'm back, I just flip the page and go on to the next page with my normal daily life drawings. So I don't dedicate a travel journal to it. So it's not like I pick out, I can pick from the shelf, like, oh, that vacation of Italy in 2016, I want to look at it again. Now I really need to think about which sketchbook did I do that in. So it's not like on the back of the book it says Italy 2016. No, it will say May to July 2016, for example, and then somewhere in there is the vacation.
That's interesting. What do you do about media? Do you take basically the same materials that you would normally have with you, or do you bring more? Do you bring less?
Yeah, that's always a struggle, because on the one hand, I'm like, so now I have so much time to draw. I want to try out all my tools. I want to take everything with me. You know, I have those gouache sticks, and I have my all sorts of pens, and I can bring my color pencils and different types of watercolor. But then on the other hand, I'm like, I want to travel light. So what do I really, really need? So what I usually do is I take my standard kit, which is just a bunch of pens and a small watercolor kit. And then I will take something additional, usually a small set of color pencils and maybe something else that is new and I want to try it out. But a lot of times I just end up using that one familiar kit and don't use that much of the other stuff. So yeah, I should think of it like, okay, that's just travel light. If I really need something, I can find myself an art supply shop and get it anyway, you know? So I think traveling light is actually the best way to do it. Just like packing anything when you go on a vacation, like how many clothes do you need?
Yeah. I mean, I packed pretty heavily on this trip because I knew we would be in a car most of the time. So yeah, I could afford to have like one giant bag. And so I bought all these watercolors that I wanted to try out beforehand. So I bought this special like watercolor set that has it's like a fan. Did I tell you about this? It's like it's got like over 40 colors. They're kind of weird colors. There are times where I'm like, and they're each one is set up on one kind of panel of the fan has a certain set of them, a set of colors. So it'll be like some browns, a blue, and an orange. And then there'll be another one that has three other oranges and two greens and a yellow. And so you can kind of pull out just one of the panels of the fan and paint with that. So it all folds up and it's about the size of, I don't know, like a tube of toothpaste maybe.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you have all these things. And then it also has a little mixing. One of the panels of the fan is a palette. And then it has a little sponge built in so you can clean your brush right on it. And then it has a water brush that snaps into the side of it. So you have this whole watercolor set that it's a bit big to fit in your pocket, but it's pretty good. And when the first couple of days we were here, we went to a thrift store. And they happen to have a huge section of bags. And I just didn't have like the right bag with me. And I found this thing. I told JJ, I'm calling it the quick draw holster. And it's like this little bag that fits over, like it goes over your shoulder and sits against your ribs. So,
is so cool.
Yeah, so it's like it's kind of like a man purse, but when you open it, it has like a perfect slot for a sketchbook, and then the front part opens down, and you can put all your pens and watercolors in it. Not all watercolors, but certainly I can put this fan thing in. And I had been carrying, I thought like I'll carry everything around in my backpack, but a lot of times a backpack is just too much, yeah, at least for me, because I'm not used to carrying any kind of bag at all. I'm used to carrying watercolors in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I wanted this bigger set. So now I have my quick draw thing. But now I also have another huge bag that has this brand new set of Winsor & Newton watercolors that I bought that I haven't even opened yet.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also got these watercolor markers from China. They're a little bit cheapish, either China or Japanese, but they're about 35 colors in that, and they're sort of water. Have you ever used watercolor markers?
I haven't. No.
So it's like a regular marker, but it's basically water soluble, so you can just go over it, and then you can kind of mix them. So I think it's not really watercolor. I think it's basically water soluble markers. So sometimes those are helpful, but I have this big box of those, and then I have a big box of pencils, and then I have my big box of all my other pens with other stuff and other brushes. And the whole thing ends up being like a giant bag inside my suitcase.
Right.
So it's one of those things that's like, okay, well, when I sit down at the hotel or whatever in the evening, I can pull out all that stuff and do like more elaborate kinds of drawings. But yesterday I was looking at my journal and I was like, this is kind of turning into a mess. I really started to hate my journal yesterday.
Really? But why? Because you were using so many different types of tools? Or
I think so. I think it's like I had done this one thing where we had gone to this big, huge bookstore in Portland called Powell's, which is this like the most amazing bookstore in the world. It's I took you to the Strand in New York.
Yeah.
Well, this place is like three times the size of that.
Oh, great.
And it has used books and it has all of my books, by the way.
Yes.
But it has used books and it has new books. And, you know, it was really, really nice. And so when I came home, I wanted to like commemorate that we had gone to Powell's, and we had in fact gone there twice in the same day because it's so fantastic. So I started lettering the logo for Powell's and it was kind of a mess. And I'd done it in the wrong color. And then I went and got some colored pencils and I tried tightening it up with that. And then I got some markers out and I was like, this looks like something that like a 9-year-old did. It's just really ugly. And it's taken up like a third of a spread in my book.
But you know,
and I was really disappointed.
That collage is the answer when you are really unhappy, right?
I know. I'd have to do that. I have not use that crutch of like just pasting something. And I've been picking up a lot of stickers because they love stickers out here. And I haven't been putting any stickers in the book, but yeah, I might have to do that. Anyway, so when I put that horrible mess down there, then suddenly I felt like I have to balance the rest of the page with more color. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Then
did
I said,
you make it worse?
I made the whole thing was like really garish and ugly. And then we had gone to this beautiful rose garden. They have this place called the International Rose Test Garden. And it has 800 or 600 different types of roses there. They have 10,000 rose bushes and they are all in beautiful, bloom right now, and they all smell amazing. And so to capture that, I took a picture of one rose and I thought, okay, I'm not going to draw here in the garden. I'm going to draw back. And I did this drawing of the rose. And that also kind of was a disaster. And I then went over it with a pen. So it was like this, I'd done it all in watercolor originally. And then I drew pen on top of it. And I was just like, Anyway, so then I used that as an excuse to go and look back through my other pages. And I thought, this whole thing is a mess. So the monkey was definitely with me on this trip. And I need to calm down. So I thought what I might do is I might just say to myself, you know what, for at least for a few days, I'm going to use one color a day.
Mm. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So I might just take like one watercolor, one marker or two markers in that color and just like calm it down.
I think that's really smart because I was going to say, well, maybe, you know, that this is also part of a sketchbook. You are just experimenting with things that you don't use that often, like those markers. And of course, you're going to make a mess. And that's totally fine. And now your monkey is telling you it's horrible. But when you look back at it in a couple of weeks, you're like, oh, that was fun. That was Rose Garden, you know. And oh, yeah, I remember that collage. There's something ugly under that. But I think it's part of the trip because now you finally have the time to experiment and explore. So it's a different kind of exploration, just like you are exploring by going on a trip. But I think it's really smart to tone down the colors or to limit your colors, and then you can still, you know, experiment with all these different kinds of tools, and then it feels less messy probably.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm wrestling with is on the one hand, you know, I want to do what you're saying. I want to experiment. I have all these new materials with me and, you know, I'm here to have fun and so forth. And there's another part of me, which is like, well, this is the only opportunity you'll have to commemorate the Rose Garden in your sketchbook. You better make it good. You know, so it's like on one hand, it's like this casual thing. But on the other hand, it's like this important historical document. It'd be like you know, if you forgot to take photographs of your journey, of your whole thing, and then you look back and go, oh yeah, I wasn't taking photographs because my camera broke. So it's a weird combination of fun and pressure.
Yeah, you're putting pressure on yourself because you want it to be great, so you can pick the book up again later on and think, oh, I made so many great drawings and it was such a fantastic trip. I recognize that. Yeah,
I think it's like, you know, there's an old cliche about people go on vacation and they come back, particularly from the days when people used to take slides, you know, and they would set up like the slides and they'd invite their friends over for dinner. You've got to see my slides of my trip to Africa. And then everybody sits there and it's like, oh, it's so boring. It's like other people's travel pictures are just not that interesting.
250 slides. Yeah.
I mean, I think sketchbooks aren't like that. I think everybody likes to see a sketchbook. It's more interesting. And, you know, and I'm writing a lot of stuff, you know, because I'm sort of making jokes and trying to actually record what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But so far, my favorite part of it is actually the maps.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Doing like watercolor maps of when we go on, when we drive, like 2 days ago, we drove like 300 miles. So I made a map of that. And that part of the country is actually really interesting because it's the whole coastline that has all these little islands and stuff like that. So drawing that is really fun. It's not just like a square, you know.
Fantastic, yeah.
So, yeah, it is pretty fun. So when you go to a place, are there certain things that you, I mean, are there certain things you look for to draw? I mean, obviously food, I know that you do that a lot, but will you ever say, you know, we should go to such and such just to draw it?
Yeah. Well, I've been to Greece this year and we hadn't really decided where to go. We just wanted to go for a week somewhere and we wanted a bit of a nice weather. So we just went on Google Images, and we actually got a place recommended by someone, and we went to Google Images, and I was like, okay, we're going here. I want to draw everything there because of the buildings and the super blue sky, and the buildings are all white and they have these round shaped roofs, and the villages are all sort of stacked onto hills, and half of the houses are like caves. So yeah, I think part of the decision to go to Greece was actually that it was so, well, let's say photogenic.
Yeah,
photogenic. But if it's photogenic, then often it's also really great to draw. And the colors are just fantastic. And I, to that trip, I took extra blue and extra blue pencils and gouache and all kinds of stuff to just slap around on the pages.
That's interesting. So you didn't just go to Google Images and just do drawings from them.
No. We just went to Google Images to find inspiration for where to book, you know?
No, I got it.
People do that. That's a way to travel too, you know?
That's sort of depressing. Then you can just like just download the Google Images and put them on your Instagram, and then you don't have to go leave your house.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I like to do also is to learn a little bit about the thing or the place. You know, sometimes when you go to a place, there'll be like, you know, you're on a tour, or there's like, you know, facts that are presented in some way. I like to put those down, or at least do my own version of it. Like, oh, this was built in 1837 and it has, you know, so-and-so lived here. Do you ever do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I need to really look it up to know where I am, you know, to know something about the place where I am. So then I just really need to use Google if I want to add something. But, you know, often when you are traveling somewhere, there might be a guide who tells you stuff, or someone local who tells you things. And I like actually those things I really like. If someone tells you something about the neighborhood you're in or something like that, it's not like a historical fact that you can find online, but it's something that someone told you. I really like it when something like that happens. So that's the kind of thing that I really like documenting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'll put down a few facts that you could find from Google, but usually in order to say something else, you know. So, you know, I want to comment on it, like, oh, this building was built in 1537. You know, think about how many like people have used this. Use their bathrooms, you know, like I try to make it into a joke or make it into a comment because in the end, it's important to me that it be personal, that it's not just like I'm creating some kind of generic field guide or tour guide, you know, but that it's important to me. Because I think one of the things that I like about drawing when I travel, and I think I do it way more than I do at home, is the stories. There's just like so many more stories. You have so many more experiences than if you're like sitting at work or taking, you know, the bus home.
Sure.
It's just like, it's like you want to record those stories. So
everything is new when you're traveling. Everything is different. So there's a lot to tell. Yeah.
Right. And the places that we're traveling right now, some of them are like places you'd go as a tourist, you know, but a lot of them aren't particularly because we're just on this driving tour. So sometimes we'll just drive through like a little town and they've never had a tourist in their lives through there, you know, but there's always interesting things to do or to meet. We meet people, you know, and you'll hear like, oh, a waitress tells you a story or, you know, I mean, when I'm on vacation, I like to kind of meet strangers and ask them their stories. So that's part of my goal is to like, try and capture stories and find them along the way.
Yeah, that's really great. That's a fantastic goal. Yeah.
Or sometimes just weird things will happen to you, like you're stuck in some place and it becomes some big involved story around why you couldn't get your hotel room key or, you know, how you got stuck in some government immigration passport control thing. And it just becomes an interesting thing to look back on and go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and also smaller things like things that are totally normal in the country that you are visiting, but for you it's like kind of new and exotic. You know, I was in Thailand a few years ago, and they had these sort of pots with water, and then a sort of I can't find the word, sort of a spoon, a big spoon, like a soup spoon.
And like a ladle?
They had that in front of every door of the bungalows where we stayed. And that was just to, you know, it was sandy there, so you could just rinse your feet.
Were you drinking out of the bucket and thinking that it was like some kind of...
No, but I was like, that is so cool, you know. Maybe at a more luxury place, it would be a tap, you know, tap water. But it was just a bowl of water with a ladle. And I just thought that it's just so common for them. And for me, it's like a really fun memory. Like, remember, it was so warm and your feet would get sandy and then you just ladle some water on it and they were clean again and you could get into the bungalow. So that's the kind of thing that I will draw then. It's a totally sort of random thing. But for me, it helps to remember the place that we stayed at.
Yeah, I mean, we were staying a couple nights ago. We were staying in an Airbnb that was actually a farm. And they had a whole bunch of different chickens, and they were like the kind of exotic chickens. So they were really beautiful, beautiful birds and different sizes. So I spent some time drawing them, and then they had several different lambs and sheep, and each of them had a different personality. So I was trying to capture like how they looked different, but also how they behaved different. And they had some horses that I didn't get around to drawing. But that was just a cool part of it. So I just made like a couple of pages in my sketchbook about just the animals that were there and writing little stories about them. And of course, painting animals is challenging because they're always moving and, you know, so, but that was cool. And they also, the woman who owned the farm, her job is training people who train horses. So she had this amazing stable. And she also had all these special kinds of carts that they use to, I don't know, I think they're some special events that they do with horses pulling these little carts that were like made of metal and leather. And and so I drew some of those. They also had a miniature horse, you know, that was really cute.
Yeah.
So that was just like a fun, you know, random moment that I thought like, well, I can't leave here without spending some time with those animals and drawing that. We've also seen bald eagles. They have bald eagles here, and those are so rare and unusual to see.
Yeah.
And we went out on a whale watching expedition. I thought about bringing my sketchbook, but I thought, you know, this, what could be more of a disaster than like being out on the open ocean in a wet boat with a watercolor set? So I didn't do that, but I did do a painting. They gave us these special suits to wear because it's really, really cold when you're on the ocean. So you wear these like coveralls that are kind of fleece lined, like you might wear if you were going snowboarding or something.
Right.
And so we looked really ridiculous in them, of course, because they were like always the wrong size. So I did a painting of JJ wearing hers, and that became like that stood in for the whole whale trip. So we saw whales and porpoises and seals and sea lions and eagles, and I did a painting of JJ in this big suit. So yeah, so it's really fun. I mean, we're only about a third of the way through the trip. There's still quite a lot of it to go.
Great. Enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. I told you about our new course, Watercolor Rules and How to Break Them. Well, if you'd like a few introductory tips, we'd also like to give you a free book to get you started. It's called Jump into Watercolors. And it has loads of step-by-step explanations from many of the artists who teach at Sketchbook School. And you can have one. Just go to sketchbook.school and look at the menu under free stuff. So then just tell us that you'd like your own copy of the book, and we'll send it to you right away with no cost or obligation, as they say in the commercials. That's sketchbook.school and look under free stuff. Okay, well, I have to wrap things up so we can hit the road again. We still have another 10 days of travel ahead of us, and I still have lots of pages to fill in the sketchbook. Meanwhile, if you like the idea of illustrated travel journaling, here's a couple of things to get you started. A few years ago, I wrote a book called An Illustrated Journey, in which I interviewed 50 artists who keep travel sketchbooks and collected some of their best work together in a book. And it's a book that I really love, and I reread it myself for inspiration before setting out on this road trip, too. If you're looking for ideas and inspiration, check it out, An Illustrated Journey. It's available wherever amazingly awesome books are sold. And if you want to work on your watercolor skills before you go on your next trip, join me and Kosha and Ian Sidaway and Ian Fennelly and August Wren and Inma Serrano in Watercolor Rules and How to Break Them. You can find out more at sketchbook.school. And while you're there, don't forget your free book, Jump into Watercolor. You can sign up for it under free stuff. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the whole series and leave us a nice review. That is very nice and helpful. And if you have any questions or comments, just email me at danny@sketchbookschool.com or danny@dannygregory.com, however you'd like. And look, I hope you use this time to make something creative of your own. If you'd like to tell me about what you make, I'd love to hear about it too. Just email me. Until next time, this is Art for All from Sketchbook School, and I am your intrepid road warrior, Danny Gregory. Bye-bye until next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. And remember, visit sketchbookschool.com and claim your free ebook and your monthly newsletter. Our community is always growing, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Art for All.